I'm glad that this world is temporary. I'm glad that this world, and you see right now all the more, aren't you thankful that this is not going to go on forever? That has a kind of good effect on us because it's making us long for the heavenly city. It's making us long for a time when there will no longer be doors and locks and alarms. When the wicked will be gone forever. When there will be peace forevermore. When there will be love among neighbors. Pure, constant affection and love in the most holy and righteous way.
Hi there. Welcome to Abounding Grace with Pastor Chris Gordon. Praise the Lord and pass the ammunition. That is the title of our message today, taken from Exodus chapter 22 in the first 15 verses. We're looking at property laws and God's protection for the thief. You say, what? And why? We'll talk about that today. Here's Pastor Chris.
Exodus chapter 22, verse 15 verses. If a man steals an ox or a sheep and kills it or sells it, he shall repay 5 oxen for an ox and 4 sheep for a sheep. If a thief is found breaking in and is struck so that he dies, there shall be no blood guilt for him. But if the sun has risen on him, there shall be blood guilt for him. He shall surely pay. If he has nothing, then he shall be sold for his theft. If the stolen beast is found alive in his possession, whether it is an ox or a donkey or a sheep, he shall pay double. If a man causes a field or vineyard to be grazed over or lets his beast loose and it feeds in another man's field, he shall make restitution from the best in his own field and in his own vineyard. If fire breaks out and catches in thorns, so that the stacked grain or the standing grain or the field is consumed, he who started the fire shall make full restitution. If a man gives to his neighbor money or goods to keep safe, and it is stolen from the man's house, then if the thief is found, he shall pay double. If the thief is not found, the owner of the house shall come near to God to show whether or not he has put his hand to his neighbor's property. For every breach of trust, whether it is for an ox, for a donkey, for a sheep, for a cloak, or for any kind of lost thing, of which one says, this is it, the case of both parties shall come before God. The one whom God condemns shall pay double to his neighbor. If a man gives to his neighbor a donkey, or an ox, or a sheep, or any beast to keep safe, and it dies or is injured or is driven away without anyone seeing it, an oath by the Lord shall be between them both to see whether or not he has put his hand to his neighbor's property. The owner shall accept the oath, and he shall not make restitution. But if it is stolen from him, he shall make restitution to its owner. If it is torn by beasts, let him bring it as evidence. He shall not make restitution for what has been torn. If a man borrows anything of his neighbor, and it is injured or dies, the owner not being with it, he shall make full restitution. If the owner was with it, he shall not make restitution. If it was hired, it came for its hiring fee. There ends tonight the reading of God's word. Well, there's no question that we are living in a society and time when there is no more trust being built among neighbors in the way that we interact, in the business dealings, and what's happened in our culture and society. Not only has our service society seemingly fallen apart, it seems to be, though, that for a society to function correctly, for a society to be healthy, for a society to be prosperous, there has to be a measure of trust and a measure of respect among neighbors, doesn't there? That they will respect somebody else's property. That they will do what is right, that they will do what is honorable. We hear endless stories of now greedy CEOs who have squandered inheritances of people who've invested, taking huge salaries for themselves, and then losing everything in Ponzi schemes, hurting millions of people. Don't you feel that something has changed in society, in just even service and general equity and the way people treat one another? It used to be that the customer was always right. That's gone. I know I can get kind of cynical in all of this, but don't you think that at least there's a general equity and concern that needs to be in place in a society for it to function properly? And today, it just seems to be falling over left and right. We don't talk to people anymore. Social media has completely broken down the ability for people to communicate. We're living in a me generation. It's all about me. We don't have respect for others. I mean, I was taught to take my hat off when I entered into a room. Today, people don't even do it in prayer. They look at you like, what do you mean? Are you kidding? Take off your hat? The me generation. This is what we're living. And our security measures, of course, seem to keep getting more advanced and more advanced because theft and crime is becoming more and more sophisticated. They're getting good, they're getting better, and we're doing all we can just to keep up. Our doors are locked, our alarms are on, and now we sit in the midst of an intense gun debate about the rights of citizens to defend themselves, while many feel that these rights are being taken from them. And even this last week, laws were put into place that people feel are being taken. This is going on while society becomes more and more wicked. Houston, we have a problem then, don't we? And then we see authority structures being assaulted left and right. Police officers and authority structures are constantly being thrown under the bus. I'm not quite sure anymore how committed they are to protect people in this environment. You keep hitting them, they're going to struggle. Well, all that's going on right now, and that's what you're living in. We'll see all sorts of stuff unfold because of that. And I think it's a glorious moment to study God's economy. I really see the value of this. I'm glad that this world is temporary. I'm glad that this world, and you see right now all the more, aren't you thankful that this is not going to go on forever? That has a kind of good effect on us because it's making us long for the heavenly city. It's making us long for a time when there will no longer be doors and locks and alarms. When the wicked will be gone forever. When there will be peace forevermore. When there will be love among neighbors. Pure, constant affection and love in the most holy and righteous way. And that's why studying this tonight helps us to see how God himself regulated the society that was full of sin and full of this propensity to do what we're seeing unfold in our own society when injustice rocks the land, how in his economy, justice was preserved in the land, or at least was intended to be. That's what these laws were for. And under his government, there were many things that happened that prevented what we're seeing unravel in front of us. He made provisions to see his people cared for. He made provisions to see the good gifts that he gave people protected. And that's an important point tonight. He gave laws so that you would see love excel among neighbors, peace, that it would continue. And tonight we particularly come in the first 15 verses to a series of property laws. How did the Lord regulate property in the old covenant? How did he do that? This may not seem to be that important to us, but God's people throughout history have suffered a lot of loss of property, have had things taken from them, have had governments take that due to theft, due to greed, due to hatred among neighbors. And tonight we have a window into how God wanted his people to be different in their world, in the way that they interacted with each other, different from how the world interacted with its people. And that's what we're seeing in these passages, that we would take these principles tonight. There are many principles we take from this, of equity and of justice and of love, shown here and promoted by God himself in the law of God, so that we then would exercise this among us, that we would be careful to pursue these kind of things. And there you're going to have a strong witness, I promise you. You're going to have a really strong witness before the world if this is listened to, the principles that are taken from this. That's what this is about tonight, love and respect of your neighbor, even to the good gifts that God gives him. That's really the simple point. And that's what we see, that first he gives laws in love of how, and this will be a little bit surprising for a moment, I hope you'll see by the time we're done, laws in how they were to love the thieves among them. Laws in how they were to respect their neighbor's property among them. And laws that were concerned about building trust in the community of one another. Building trust and not doubt, not entertaining doubts in business dealings, but being willing to take the high road and always say, we want to pursue trust and love among brothers. That's what all these laws were promoting. And you'll see how the gospel was intended to motivate this kind of behavior. The first set of laws here tonight deal with the eighth commandment and theft of property. You'll notice that in verse 1 that he says, if a man steals an ox or a sheep and kills it or sells it, he shall repay 5 oxen for an ox and 4 sheep for a sheep. If the thief is found breaking in and is struck so that he dies, there shall be no blood guilt for him. But if the sun has risen on him, there shall be blood guilt for him. He shall surely pay. If he has nothing, then he shall be sold for his theft. If the stolen beast is found alive in his possession, whether it is an ox or a donkey or sheep, he shall pay double. It really is a somewhat straightforward series of laws here that if a man steals something and he slaughters or he sells it, think about the consequence of this. You had to pay 4 or 5-fold, depending upon what it was. That's going to make you think a little bit about stealing, isn't it? Remember, oxen in those days were like a good tractor. This is how people made their living. I mean, there's a reason in the law, the 10th commandment, it says, you shall not covet your neighbor's ox. Everyone got together at the local shop and talked about their oxes. Trust me, we've got a good ox over here. The ox was the thing everyone talked about. Well, they were the targets of theft, weren't they? And if the theft were to happen, you have to think about in that society how much that set back somebody. We often don't think about when one sin happens, the consequences of how it affects everyone. And think of all the months of work and the months of loss if you had your ox lost or stolen. That completely set back a farmer. And it's a really important point in and of itself that we don't think a lot about how destructive just what we think is a little sin of theft, how destructive that is in a society. One person's sin does sweeping damage to others. And the Lord was always instituting laws that made people realize this and that made them suffer the consequences appropriate to the damage that it caused in the society. I mean, just think about, and I call it this because it's what it is, think about the theft of adultery. Think about stealing another man's wife. Think of the hurt to the family. Think of the hurt to the wife. Think of the pain the children endure. And then all the questions, have you ever seen this when this stuff happens? Then all the question comes of how they're going to make it, how they're going to survive, how they're going to live, how they're going to be provided for. The sweeping damage of one sin. One sin. And here the Lord was having people and having thieves think about their actions. If he stole something of the property, he had to restore 4 to 5 times what he stole. And you see the wisdom in that. The restitution had a great restraint. They didn't just go to jail and sit there. Think about our prison systems full. They paid for it. And even if he was found with it, he was caught, and then he was found with the animal, he still, in that case, had to give the animal back and pay double. What a display from the Lord, first noticing here tonight that he cares about what he gives us. I find that to be a remarkable point. Isn't it an amazing thought that the scriptures teach us that every perfect gift, good and perfect gift, comes down from the Father of lights, who delights to give you all kinds of good things to enjoy in this life. And he loves to give his children good gifts. Think about it. He's zealous for the gifts that you're given for you to use them for enjoyment and for his glory. And he hates theft because theft is, in a sense, somebody trying to play God and trying to take hold of what he decided not to give them, to give him. And so I stood back from this week and I realized that God even cares about how we use our possessions and the possessions that he gives us. It's a beautiful truth that all possessions that we own are God's. Everything you own is his. And he's specifically given it to you to use for his glory. And anything beyond that is off limits. Now, in the next breath, after those series of laws, God gives instructions about breaking and entering. And it shows here his care about persons and people. In those days, walls were made of mud, and you could just, in the middle of the night, break right in and get into the house. So you'll notice that he addresses this particular circumstance, that at nighttime, if a thief breaks in and you strike him and he dies, the owner is not liable. But if it's daytime, verse 3, and the man strikes the thief and he dies, he's culpable. The point here, it's really interesting, isn't it? At nighttime, they didn't have lights to turn on. You had no idea of the intention of a thief. You have no idea what he was going to do. So a thief would come in and break into your house, and the Lord made a provision to restrain the thief. Listen, I'm not going to hold anyone culpable in self-defense who defends himself from somebody who comes in like that. The darkness has concealed intention. The darkness having concealed intention means that a homeowner had every right to defend himself from the thief. And if he struck him and he died, that was the way it went. So there's a clear teaching in the Bible on the right of self-defense, isn't it? You can't get away from that. God, in his economy, always gave his people the right of self-defense in these kind of situations. And I believe that's very important to say. It was not, hey, come on in and take us out. It was not a kind of pacifist approach to this. He always gave that right. But then he gives a provision in the midst of this, which I found really intriguing. Not having electricity, the principle here is when the lights come on, when the sun's up, and you see the person, and you see the intention is not to harm you, then you can't take him out. And if you do go and take him out, the Lord said you're culpable, you're guilty. Nobody had the right to take the law into their own hands when intention was clear and the lights were on the person, that the person was not intending harm. So there were two things going on here. The Lord was protecting people caught in sin. He wanted people to be able to defend themselves, but he also wanted those with that right, now listen to this, to consider the life of the thief. The Lord cared about protecting thieves from lawless aggression. Amazing, isn't it? What is that telling you a little bit? What is that promoting? Here's where we're challenged, and I don't mind challenging us, begin this whole gun debate. It's interesting that all the other laws of the other lands of the other times protected a thief only in relation to who he stole from. In other words, if he stole from a poor person, there were no real consequences. If he stole from a king, death. God's law, all theft had the same consequence. But the people being stolen from were to then taught to look at a thief in a certain way. Today we're told, and I've been told this numerous times, listen, if somebody breaks into your home, and you shoot, light goes on, I see him, and you shoot, you better kill him inside the boundary of your house. Police officers, maybe they'll know this. I've been told this all my life. You don't want to let him get up because you're going to get sued. So you better take him out. I've heard that my whole life. You better take him out when they're in the domain of your house and borders of your home. You better not do it when they're outside the home, but if they're in the home, you better do that. I agree. There are a few things that make us feel more violated than a thief coming into our home. But how do you look at him? At nighttime, you have no idea of intention. And if you strike and he dies, you're not at fault. But if you saw his face in the light, what did you see? The image of God. This is something very interesting to think about. Guns up. I see his face. Do I really want to take out his life? Do I? Someone made in God's image, is that what I want to do, put an end to his existence? What should it produce in God's people? Compassion. Compassion. We all think we're little Rambos today. We're loading up our artillery. We're talking big. We got our guns. We store them up. I listen, I'm all for the right of self-defense. I just proved it. But do you remember the intention of God for thieves? This is where I'm testing our knowledge now of what we've studied so far. What was the intention of God for thieves? They would be sold. Why would they be sold? They would be sold to go into a master's house for 6 years for the goal of rehabilitation, so that they, being rehabilitated and now working to pay for their debt, would be looking forward to Sabbath themselves. Remember that? 6 years they'll work, and then the seventh they'll be set free. So the point was, the goal you would want to have, if your heart is right, is to care for a thief and see his life preserved. And I wonder if in all this bloodiness today of our society and all the murderous actions of our society, and all the video games and all of the violence that we're just accustomed to, we've forgotten that these are people dropping into eternity. I wonder, do you really want to kill them? I endlessly hear and read of today people talking about the preserving of all of this with total disregard of the people who are made in his image.
Sort of a cliffhanger we're leaving you with today. There'll be much more tomorrow, and Pastor Chris will go on to explore this passage of Scripture in depth and how we are to respond to thieves and what God had in mind all along. We thank you for spending time with us today. It is always our hope and our earnest prayer that our time together encourages you in your walk and relationship with Christ. Now, to that end, we have a variety of ways that you can reach out to us, along with a variety of tools that you can use throughout the week to further encourage your walk and relationship with our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Reach out to us on our website, agradio.org. That's agradio.org. Or if you prefer, give us a call, 888-504-8805. Now, Abounding Grace Radio can be found on Facebook, Twitter, Instagram. You can even visit our website for links to these platforms that you like to follow. Again, agradio.org. You'll also find Pastor Chris's blog there. We do have downloads of previous messages that you've heard here on the program. And if you're interested in redirecting some of your financial resources to Abounding Grace Radio, AG Radio is listener-supported. You, along with others, have seen the value of this program and how it speaks into your life spiritually. So if you're someone who sees the value of this program for your growth in Christ, get in touch with us. No gift is too small or too large, either a one-time gift or reoccurring. It all sustains this program right here on this station. You can donate online at agradio.org or call 888-504-8805, or lick a stamp and send a check through the mail. Abounding Grace Radio, P.O. Box 732, Linden, Washington. The zip code is 98264. And by the way, if you've got a question for Pastor Chris, he'd love to hear it. Simply fire up your voice memo app on your smartphone, record your question, and then email it to us, questions@agradio.org. It's that simple. If we play your question on the air, we'll let you know when and send you an email back. Well, tomorrow we'll continue our exploration of Exodus 22 in these first 15 verses. Praise the Lord and pass the ammunition. And we'll pick up where we left off and find out just exactly why God laid these laws down and to what end. That's all tomorrow on Abounding Grace with our teacher and pastor, Chris Gordon. Until then, God bless. Abounding Grace is brought to you on this radio station by Abounding Grace Radio Ministries.
Hi, I'm Chris Gordon, the host of Abounding Grace Radio. I'm also the pastor of the Escondido United Reformed Church. If you are local to Southern California and live near the Escondido area, we would love to see you at one of our worship services on Sunday.
That's right, Chris, we would. And our worship services, because of the heat and earlier darkness, begin 9:30 for the morning service and 3 p.m. for the evening service. And both are held under the tent at Calvin Christian. Well, here's Pastor Chris once again. If you'd like to know more, with information on how to reach out to us,
you can find us on the web at www.escondidourc.org. EscondidoURC.org. The Escondido United Reformed Church, a place where the Bible is sincerely believed and faithfully taught.